Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Senate Committee on Healthcare and Human Services. It is May 28th, and it looks like we're going to open a work session on 2385. Representative Barnhart and Representative Kenemer. And Lori Freeman, when she... Oh, there you are. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2385 had a public hearing on May 13th. It's back before us today with a work session. This removes the exemptions from treatment resulting from a conviction of driving under the influence from the health insurance coverage requirements for chemical dependency and mental or nervous conditions. This declares an emergency effective on passage. You have before you a dash one amendment which resolves language conflicts between ORS 743A, which is this bill, the exclusion for the court-ordered screening, and ORS 813021, which is relating to the person convicted to pay for the cost of the program or screening. And it's basically just a technical amendment, Madam Chair.
So I will let Representative Barnhart and Representative Kenemer testify.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Phil Barnhart, State Representative from House District 11. At the time of the public hearing, as I understand it, an issue was raised having to do with whether or not this bill would establish a new mandate under the federal rules and perhaps even under some state law. I think it's quite clear from the correspondence that we've had from the CCIIO that, in fact, it is not a new mandate, and in their opinion, at least, as I read their response, the failure to pass something like this might very well result in a discriminatory policy as an exception to the normal rule, and that actually passing this bill brings us into compliance with that. I think that may have been a somewhat unexpected answer, but I think it does conform pretty well to what I understood. As we then went to the LC and DOJ, the other state agencies that were involved in this, I think the fairest way to describe their response was whatever the feds say. Not LC. LC has the LC's own opinion, but the other agencies, I think, agreed. So I do believe that those were the impediments that were in front of the committee at the time of the hearing, and I would urge the committee to adopt the dash one and then send the bill to the floor.
And state again the information, if you could get that to the committee administrator. Oh. I need the actual, I just want to know what CC, whatever you said.
Center for Consumer Information and Insurance Oversight.
Answer. All right.
Yeah.
That's what
those initials stand for.
And
I apologize. I accuse other people regularly of using acronyms I don't understand, and I apologize for using one that none of us understand.
That's right. Okay. Representative Kenemer.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Bill Kenemer, State Representative, District 39. Just a couple of additional comments, if I might. I practiced as a psychologist for nearly 30 years, and one of the things that I did routinely was send people out for addiction treatment because traditional psychotherapy doesn't work with them. But these treatment programs do, and I saw repeated success. I guess my issue with this one is that when it's not covered, we're preventing people from getting medical treatment that they definitely need. And an interesting story I thought I would share with you was a family story. My stepson, some time back, was cited for DUI and was unfortunately not his first. And he had insurance and was employed but was unable to get his insurance to cover it. And didn't have enough money to be able to afford treatment. And fortunately, his mother and I were able to help him out. And we're coming up on his two-year anniversary. He's been a marvelous success. And I think this is an addiction. It needs to be treated like an addiction. And I appreciate Representative Barnhart's efforts and your efforts at looking at this. I would encourage you to do it. It'll make a difference in many people's lives. And I think, if we're not careful, we get lost in the need to punish people instead of get them healthy.
Thank you very much. Questions for the Secretary? Okay, Lori, we wanted, I guess we don't really need your opinion at this point in time. But do you want to give your opinion?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Lori Freeman from Ledge Council. And I agree with what Representative Barnhart says, whatever the feds say. And the feds say it's not a new mandate, so that does it for me.
All right. All right. Thank you very much, panel. We're in work session.
Okay, Madam Chair, I'll move the dash one amendment to House Bill 2385.
Senator Cruz moves the dash one amendments into Senate Bill 2385. House Bill, I'm sorry, 2385. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2385 as amended by the dash one amendment to the Senate floor to do pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2385 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Yes, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would say that quite often the feds are wrong, and I do think this is a new mandate, and I do think this is going into an area that we need to be very careful about. This is court ordered, and that is a different critter. I understand there's some legitimacy in this, but I'm just afraid of the path we're going down with this. So unfortunately, I will be opposing this bill.
Okay, any other comments? Yeah, I feel strongly that if you do have insurance, you have not been dropped from your insurance, and you have an addiction that is treatable and covered by your insurance, that it should be covered, whether it's court-ordered or not. But that's, you know, that's where I'm coming from. Is there any other discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
No.
Aye. Motion carries, and I will carry the bill, and I will close the work session on House Bill 2385. And open a public hearing, a work session on House Bill 3474A, Representative Gilser.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3474 had a public hearing on the 16th of May. You'll recall that this allows a parent or a legal guardian to request in writing that a student not participate in a mental health screening conducted in school when screenings apply to all students in one or more grades or all students in one or more classrooms. At the time, there was a request for amendment. You do have that amendment in front of you where in the bill it speaks to the fact that on the day of the assessment, the student can refuse to have the assessment. The dash A3 amendments allow that the parent on the day of the mental health screening, either the student or parent or legal guardian of the student, may request orally and or in writing that the student not participate in the screening.
So I'm assuming that we aren't considering the twos because the threes cover it.
No, Mr. Yes. Vice Chair, the dash twos are a separate amendment.
Okay.
The dash twos were presented at the public hearing, which explained the information need to be provided in a linguistically and culturally appropriate manner.
Okay.
So those two are before the committee for consideration.
Yes. Madam Chair, I'll move the dash A3 amendment in House Bill 3474.
Senator Cruz moves the dash A3 amendments into House Bill 3474. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? Amendment adopted. Now, to go to the A2s, did you want to just comment on the A2s?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the A2s were submitted by on behalf of Representative Frederick. And I think the interest was conforming to the other health information legislation that we've worked on this session to make sure that, that people understand the forms that are sent to them.
Mm-hmm. Madam Chair, are you ready for another motion? Or are you ready for motion on the bill?
I don't see anyone.
Well, Madam Chair,
So Representative Frederick's not here. This is your bill, Rep. Gelser. What's your opinion of the Dash 2s? Do you want the Dash 2s moved or no? Or
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, I am supportive of the Dash 2s. I think it's appropriate for parents to receive information, and it's common for school districts to provide information in the language that parents speak. That said, if it is not the desire of the committee, the underlying bill, I think, is still important to move, even if we are not able to reach agreement on the Dash 2. But I am personally supportive of the Dash 2 amendment.
Madam Chair, I will take your lead wherever you'd like to
okay.
go.
Okay. At this point in time, I would just like to go with the amendment that we have adopted right now, mm-hmm. and then we could address this in 2014 if so be.
Madam Chair, you know, the value there I fully understand, but this is an additional mandate on schools, and we aren't even giving the funding they need to do what they're currently doing. So I think one step at a time would be the appropriate way to go here. So,
and Madam Chair, I will absolutely support your lead on this. I just wanted to make sure that it was brought by my representative that at least had some discussion and consideration. I do know that I want to make sure that this bill passes and nothing weighs it down as it tries to move forward through the process. So I would like to revisit this in 2014 or 2015 and have a more thorough discussion.
Yeah. Thank you.
Madam Chair, mm-hmm. I'll move House Bill 3474 as amended by the Dash 3 Amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 3474 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator
Harris?
Aye.
Senator Hill?
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Senator Cruz? Aye. Motion carries, and Senator Cruz will carry the bill.
Thank you.
And I will close the work session on House Bill 3474 and open a work session on House Bill 2128. Sandy, and then Sean Colmer.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2128A had a public hearing last week on the 20th. It's before us again with a Dash A3 amendment and the appropriate paperwork. There is no revenue nor and there is a minimal expenditure impact. This requires the Oregon Health Exchange, Cover Oregon, and the Oregon Educator Benefit Board to reach agreement on plans offered through the exchange to educators. Requires that all OEB offered plans be underwritten based on the entire risk pool of eligible school districts and employees of the district. And you have the A3s before you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Sean Colmer, Governor's Office. I think your committee administrator said it nicely about what the A3s are. Just wanted to be up here voicing the governor's support for these. We believe this sort of cements what we all believe was current policy last session in 2012 when we created the health insurance exchange together. So I'd be happy to answer any questions you have on the amendment before you.
Justin, can you let us know your opinion of the Dash A3s?
Sure. Chair Monis Anderson, members of the committee, we are in full support of the A3s and would like to thank the governor's office for their hard work on working with us to come to a better bill. Oh, sorry, for the record, Justin Black from the Oregon Education Association.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move the Dash A3 amendment to House Bill 2128.
Senator Cruz moves A3s into House Bill 2128. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? So adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2128 as amended by the Dash A3 amendments to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2128 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator Harris?
Aye.
Aye.
Senator Shields?
Aye.
Vice Chair Cruz?
Aye.
Motion carries, and okay, Senator Steiner Hayward will carry the bill, and I will close the work session on House Bill 2128 and open a work session on House Bill 2124. Andy.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2124A had a public hearing on May 16th. This bill addresses some ongoing issues with the Impaired Health Professional Program. It eliminates from the program the requirement that employers of program participants establish minimum training requirements for supervisors of the program's participants. It modifies the provision requiring the assessment of such employers, removes the admittance to hospital for mental illness and court ruling of mental incompetence from the list of information that the program must report as evidence of substantial noncompliance with diversion agreements when entered into the program. You have the A5s in front of you, which basically replaces House Bill 2124. It has, it's basically 2130 with some other amendments. Okay. Other language changes.
I'd like Gwen Dayton, Kathleen Haley, and Sarah Basler to please come forward to go through the amendment with us.
And Madam Chair, we do not have a fiscal on the dash A5 amendments.
But we'll suspend the rules.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to meet Thursday, so we'll just suspend the rules and move it without the paperwork.
It does something with everybody.
Fine with me.
Good afternoon, Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee. My name is Kathleen Haley, and I'm the Executive Director for the Oregon Medical Board. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to comment on the Dash 5 amendments. Really, this is the work of Representative Greenlick, as well as the four health regulatory boards that participate in the program, the Medical Association, the Nurses Association, and the Psychiatric Association. And the health boards really do encourage licensees with mental health concerns to be able to continue to practice while seeking appropriate monitoring and care. And the Dash 5 amendments do address that in two ways. One, if a participant solely has a mental health diagnosis, they would not have to have urinalysis. That's really appropriate for someone with a substance abuse diagnosis. It would also allow the enrollees not to have to be reported as substantially noncompliant unless they were civilly committed. So a short-term stay for hospitalization would not qualify as substantial noncompliance. And then also, those who are have a substantial noncompliance report would no longer be investigated. They would be reviewed by the board. And this would eliminate the ability or the responsibility for the participant to have to say that they've been investigated when, in fact, it could be a minor instance of noncompliance. And also it will allow licensees to be able to self-refer to the program and allow, most importantly, boards to be able to contract to have treatment programs. Right now the program has strictly been monitoring. We would like to be able to encourage treatment as well. So with that, I thank you for the opportunity to comment. I'm happy to answer any questions, and we hope you'll pass the Dash 5 amendments.
Okay. Gwen.
Chair Mona Sanderson, members of the committee, I'm Gwen Dayton. I'm the General Counsel for the Oregon Medical Association, and I hope I didn't just break something over here. The lights went out. But we're here to testify in favor of the Dash 5 amendments. And I won't go, Ms. Haley went through what they do, and so I won't repeat that, but to emphasize the things that are important to the Medical Association. We like the removal of the random UAs for people who don't have that an addiction issue, they have a mental health issue. It just seems inappropriate and poor use of resources. We like removal of hospitalization from the definition of substantial noncompliance in the law. Right now, if you're in substantial noncompliance as defined in law, it's kind of a strict liability offense. If you're on one, if you do one of those things on the list, you're in noncompliance. And right now, hospitalization is among those things. And we want people to be hospitalized if they need to be. We don't want people to fail to seek treatment they need out of fear that there'll be a noncompliance with the treatment with the monitoring program. So we support that change. We agree with the medical board wanting to contract with treatment programs, but a couple of things are really important to the Medical Association. First, that the process to select those treatment entities be a public process that allows input from practitioners. And second, and most importantly, that the licensing boards don't just contract with one treatment program, because people come to treatment with different conditions, and they come to treatment with a different aptitude for treatment. Some people take to certain styles and methodologies, and some people take to another. And if we try to do one size fits all, inevitably it won't fit some people. And the Medical Association really wants all licensees, not just physicians, to get the treatment that they need. So we really we believe it's very, very important that there be more than one entity offered to people who need assistance. So with those, we support the Dash 5s. It's improving the program, and I'm glad to answer any questions you might have.
Sarah.
don't break it.
I'll do my best. Chair Monis Anderson and members of the committee, Sarah Basler on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association, also here to testify in support of the Dash 5 amendments to House Bill 2124. The Dash 5 amendment incorporates language around supervisor training and says that supervisor training may be required but doesn't mandate it. The role of the Health Professional Services Program is to protect the public safety, and ONAC's supervisor training is one tool to do this. In nursing, all of the enrolled licensees in the program have a direct supervisor, and indeed the direct supervisor is one of the people who's best positioned to recognize a problem. And so we see supervisor training as a way to make sure that that supervisor is best positioned to do that and is trained to recognize warning signs. So just as boards have flexibility to implement other workplace restrictions for enrolled licensees, we think supervisor training should be on that list of things they can do as well.
Thank you. All right. I would like you to say, I want Bruce Bishop to come up to explain his Dash 6s. Have you had time to look at them at all?
I have. Chair Monis Anderson, I have not.
Ashley?
Okay. These were amendments that were just submitted today. And if they're not up on OLIS, they are going to be shortly. Yes. I know that this has been a work group, and my prerogative, Bruce, would be to hear his concerns in this work session today, and then if these are issues that we need to address in 2014, we will. But since there is a work group that's been working on this for quite a while, that's my prerogative at this point in time. But you have no position on them at this point in time.
This is Gwen Dayton on behalf of the Medical Association. We've seen them briefly this afternoon. We've scanned them over. And so we don't have a formal position because we haven't given it that kind of thought, to be very frank. But from our read of them, they don't do any harm, but they don't have some of the things in them that we like about the Dash 5s. And so that's why we think the Dash 5s are the better way to go right now.
Okay.
And we've also looked, Chairman S. Anderson, we've also looked briefly at them. The Dash 6 amendments take out the reference to supervisor training. That's, we believe, is important to the program.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right, Bruce, if you would come up and just explain why you waited until the last day to bring us the Dash 6s.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Bruce Bishop, Senior Counsel for Northwest Permanente. In point of fact, we did not wait until the last day. We testified on these bills in the House. We raised the concerns in the House. We testified in the Senate. We raised the same concerns. Finally, we decided that it was appropriate to give the committee a specific proposal to look at that incorporated our concerns, which have been of long standing since 2009 when the legislature built the monitoring program that is the Impaired Professionals Services Program. There's a lot of confusion in this area, we think. We've built sort of a contraption of various overlapping and not well understood programs to try to provide assistance to practitioners who are impaired with either addictions or mental health problems. Northwest Permanente and Kaiser Permanente strongly support the need for impaired practitioners to get treatment. The problem with the programs and the legislation is that it creates obstacles to people getting into treatment because of all of the various hoops that are in the law describing the monitoring program. The monitoring program currently is not a treatment program. State law specifically prohibits it from being a treatment program. And if impaired licensees are getting treatment, they're getting it outside of the Impaired Practitioner Services Program. And I think that's part of the confusion about what you've built here. You've built a monitoring program that's not treatment. And the Dash 5 amendments will then give the licensing boards authority to add treatment to that program. That blurs the lines rather than distinguishing the lines. So our goal is to get treatment to licensees who need it without the obstacles that the current law imposes on reporting and other requirements in the monitoring program. We're proposing the Dash 6 amendments as the way to achieve that goal. Again, our goal is to reduce the barriers for licensees to get treatment as promptly as possible and not to deter them by the threat of employment sanctions, licensing sanctions, or other kind of penalties that will keep licensees out of treatment that they need. For that reason, we've offered the Dash 6 amendments. I'd be glad to describe them, but I appreciate the chair's desire to move the Dash 5s and won't belabor the issues beyond that. We share the goals. We think that the programs can be improved, both from the way they've operated in the past and the way they are proposed to operate in the future under the Dash 5 amendments.
And I appreciate your concerns. I had no idea that you had actually brought them up before the House, so I apologize for that. I wasn't aware of that. So are there questions regarding the Dash 6s? It's my prerogative to, since evidently the House did see these.
I'm sorry, they didn't see, we raised the issues in testimony. They didn't see the amendments, just to clarify.
But, okay.
I'm sorry if I wasn't clear on that.
But the issues, I meant, were raised, and I think that we would need to talk with the House to see if there's a possibility of concurrence if we did. But these, I think, actually take out some of the things that are in the Dash 5s, and we do have consensus from the boards and from the associations with the Dash 5s at this point in time. So comments?
For the Dash 5s.
Madam Chair, yes. I move the Dash A5 amendment into House Bill 2124.
Senator Cruz moves, thank you, Mr. Bishop, moves the Dash 5 amendments into House Bill 2124. Is there any discussion? Okay. Any opposition? No. Adopted.
Madam Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of passing House Bill 2124 to the Senate floor without the fiscal and revenue statements attached.
Just
fiscal, we have the revenue, but without the fiscal statement attached.
Senator Cruz moves that we suspend the rules for moving House Bill 2124 as amended to the floor without a fiscal being in our hands. Is there any opposition? So, order.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2124 as amended by the Dash A5 amendment to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Cruz moves House Bill 2124 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Sanger-Hammer?
Aye.
Senator
Knopf?
Aye.
Senator
Shields?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries and Senator Shields would be happy to carry the bill on the floor. And we will close the work session on House Bill 2124. And we are done, I think. There will be some informationals that the House may have or that we may have. But at this point in time, I do not plan on meeting on Thursday. And then just keep posted about the informationals. We may join the House for some informationals that they may be having. I know Representative Greenlick's committee meets on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 1 to 3. Some of you may have a conflict with that. Representative Tomei meets from 3 to 5. And so we'll just keep you apprised of informationals.
Next week our schedules get more flexible, I think. So.
Yeah. And colleagues, I have enjoyed every one of you on this committee. I think it's been a very bipartisan committee, and I think we've worked very well together. And even though we may not have agreed on some things, I think we I just want to thank you all. So with that, we're adjourned.